Rarely has mankind hesitated to eradicate the creatures that stand in the path of his conquest. If we find ritual extirpation, undesirable
invaders from another world.
The rest must be destroyed.
Is it possible that our dark past?
Watch them and pray.
Goo readings, ladies, gentlemen, government agents, archivists of Christopher, a.k.a. Christian, a.k.a. Solid Chris, a.k.a. Christine, Weston Chandler's life, and anyone who might be listening. This is Close Encounters of the Podcast Kind. I'm your host, Tasker, and we have Nick.
Look, here's the situation, all right? Mm. I know that you and I, we joke about retards, we joke about autists, right? We even joke that you and I might be slightly autistic.
On the spectrum, at least.
At least somewhere on the spectrum. But right. My God, at least we're not as autistic as Chris Chan.
Yeah, and I mean, at this point, I think that's almost like, even for folks on the autistic spectrum, like that Chris Chan is now a like criminal now. So I think that's even people who are on the autistic spectrum are like, dude, we don't want to be fucking associated with this guy. Hell no.
No.
They're calling the autistic people are calling him autistic.
Yeah, that means you're pretty autistic. See, what's funny about Christine, all right? What's funny about Christine is that it, I will refer to him as it, because at this point, I don't think they deserve any respect.
Right.
It has said throughout its lifetime that it's high-functioning autistic.
Okay, so that's like, so in other words, yes, they have no excuse for acting the way they've been at all.
But yet he always uses it as a crutch. He's always like, well, I'm autistic, right? I don't know that raping my mom is a bad thing.
So for all you who don't know, what just recently was unveiled is, of course, this is the first episode we've had together in a little while. And of course, not but 2 days ago, it was revealed that Chris Chan, one of the most documented people ever, was revealed to be having sex with his dementia-ridden mother. And has now been removed from the premises and now probably stands trial.
Yeah, he fucked up. Because, see, at first it came out with a leaked phone call where he's talking about like how none of her ex-lovers, even her dead ex-husband or her dead husband, Bob, never hit her G-spot. And he's talking about how like, he's like saying, they never paid any attention to hitting the G-spot. And, but I do. Like, I pay attention to it. And it's just like, what? What?
If you just Google Chris Chan mom, you're going to get enough images to know why this is one of the most fucking horrible things probably any of us have ever seen. We're hitting a bit of a climax on the Chris Chan story. And I've been reading posts and we're all hoping that it just doesn't go further than this. This is quite terrible.
This is, see, to some of you out there listening to this, you're going to be like, what? Some dude's fucking his mom, right? what's the big deal? First off, that's disgusting and you should go get some help, okay? Mm-hmm. Second, Tasker and I, we've been on and off Christorians for quite some time. This dude is fascinating.
Yeah.
So you don't understand the gravity of the situation because we've been following this dude's life for so long and all of a sudden he drops a bomb and now we're in the incest rape saga.
Yeah. We all thought it was okay. Go if you're interested in this story, because it is truly fascinating. My favorite little, like there's whole sagas, like the one where this kid straight up just pretends to be him, like to his face. And it's this huge back and forth. Another one where like you were telling me, there's a 13-year-old boy pretending to be his girlfriend,
catfished him and got him recorded him on for months having phone sex with him, with a 13-year-old boy, just trolls the shit out of him.
Oh, he goes to like a game store. He has like a huge outburst. He has all these. And the thing is about him, he might be like, oh, well, poor Chris. But like he's done has this weird comic called Sonnet You, where it's just him. And he like draws him depicting having sex with actual real life women and shows them the drawings. Like
they're going to be like all wet from it. Like Megan, yeah. Right? And Megan's like, what the fuck?
It's I would highly recommend, if you need some background noise when you're working on stuff, going into the documentary series. Do you know the name of the YouTube channel that does it?
Oh, yes. So Gino Samuel 2.1 is the YouTube channel. He has done 59 videos at this point, literally documenting everything
Unreal.
That's been going on. Everything.
And what's crazy, because we're talking about reptilians today again, and the stuff we're talking about today is going to, it actually pales in comparison to the Chris Chan story. Like, one could argue, and we might even be able to, if we can move some pieces, you know, do some little, some reasoning, I think we could actually do a cryptid episode on Chris Chan himself.
Dude, I would, you know what? I'll give anything. I will use whatever logic you want to hear for you to accept that. If we present, hey, Tasker, I think we should do a cryptid episode. Oh, what cryptid do you want to do? Let's do fucking Chris Chan. Whatever logic makes you say yes, let's do it, because the people deserve to know what the fuck we're talking about, because it's huge.
Yeah, we're going to, and it's funny because we'll have to be careful about how we handle that, because there, what is there, 59 episodes of this documentary, all of which are like an hour plus long or something?
Yeah, I'm rewatching them because of what happened. Of course, I'm going to go back and just laugh my ass off again at all this shit. But I've been listening for like 2 days straight while playing video games this weekend, and I'm only on part 19.
Good Lord Almighty. So check it out, guys. It's quite a story. And like you said, if you feel bad for him, the man literally has been, for lack of, not even lack of better term, this is actually what happened, literally raping his old poor mom on death's door, probably, who doesn't, hopefully doesn't remember anything. Yeah. This is horrible. Like, that's a terrible thing. And he is a monster, and I feel he deserves to be called for what he is.
Yes. Are you calling him a monster because he's trans? That's real, no, real forward thinking, buddy.
Yeah. Call it what you will, but it's just, it's definitely the rape part.
Yeah, the rape thing. And he's also terribly homophobic, even though he's trans, and he's also very racist. So don't feel too bad for him. I mean, yeah, sometimes the trolls go a little too far, but those are the best ones, all right? So just...
Yeah, there's some... That's, like I said, it's just before you have an opinion, check it out. It's quite compelling.
Yeah, check it out, guys. But that's what's been going on in our minds the last couple of days. It's fucking awesome. So,
oh, it's been a whirlwind, and like, I've been traveling a lot lately. I think this is the first episode I've done, and since where, fuck.
Well,
as you
dude,
can tell,
look,
it's been a
rubbing
while.
Off on you, man. Jesus, dude, what are you gonna have sex with your mom now?
No, right. This is the first episode I have not been hungover for. It's the first episode I didn't record at 3 a.m. If you enjoyed the hyper reality episode, thank God, because I was a little concerned about how that came out. I haven't listened to it since, because I figured, you know what? I'm gonna let art be art and let it just, I figured the tiredness was, it was character. It was, there had character to it.
It was good. I mean, I enjoyed it.
Oh, good. Okay. Thank God. So, and hopefully you guys did too, but what better way to come back with the boom or a bang and an explosion? Bang is not a good word to use after the Chris Chan thing.
Hey,
we're talking about reptilians.
Yeah, we're talking about reptilians. Like Tasker said, kind of overshadowed by everything going on with Chris Chan, but it's still a big deal. Like, whenever we talk about reptilians, it's for a reason, right?
Yeah.
In my opinion, one of the biggest issues we have in the world, in the universe, are reptilians. And yeah. So every episode we're doing, it's not like, haha, look how funny or cool this is. It's like, no, maybe we can learn something from this to either help us or to determine if they are the threat that we perceive them to be.
Yeah, you might actually like to hear this, because you could see how far your icy grip goes. I met some of my girlfriend's family, and we were out at a bar. We're hanging out, grabbing drinks and stuff like that. And then the topic of space came up. I didn't even bring it up. They brought it up. And then one of them was like, oh, so like, yeah, I guess like the government's run by like space lizard. And the worst part is I had fucking answers for him, dude. I hated it. Yeah. As I'm going through, I'm like, somewhere Nick's like balls are just relaxing. The nut is just flowing. Yeah. It made me upset.
God, I'm proud of you, man. See, look, you're making changes. You're making great changes in your life subconsciously, right? Because you didn't know that conversation was going to happen. But as soon as the question started rising, you were like, oh, shit, I know what that is. Oh, I can answer this question. I can prepare these Tasker's girlfriend. I can prepare these backwoods Wisconsin folk with some reptilian knowledge, you know? And you did it, bro. And I'm proud of you.
Yeah, it was weird, man. It was very weird. And it was like, I had answer. I neglected to tell them about the crotch pocket, because I did not feel like I knew them well enough to bring it up.
You should have. I mean, it's a crucial piece of information. It's a way that they reproduce.
It's important, but you know,
at the next family gathering, you better tell them about the fucking crotch pocket.
I try to avoid it when I can. It's just they brought it to me. They want it. They made the conversation come out of me. It's your fucking fault that I know anything about this to be able to continue the conversation for more than three sentences.
So they called them space lizards. Did you correct them and say, well, they're reptilians and there's actually different types of reptilians? Did you tell them about the indigenous and then the Dracos?
Well, no, I didn't get that far, but I did say they're not extraterrestrial. They're extra dimensional.
Oh, my God.
They're called reptilians, and they phase in and out of their dimensions to be anywhere at once.
Holy
shit.
And
that was the point. That was the point where they were like, oh boy. Like, then you could tell they were trying to find a way out of the conversation. And I'm like, it's not me. Like, I just know about it. It's like,
it's just idiot. I know. And
it's secondhand knowledge, but your knowledge of it is so fucking vast. Even my secondhand knowledge is like too much.
I'm proud of you, man. That is fucking awesome. You literally told them they were extra dimensional. That's fucking baller. That's fucking awesome.
Bad. It was fucking, and I said it with a straight face and everything. Like, it was so bad. I was just enough beers in to like, you know, say it. Because I was like, oh, we're having a cool conversation. Like, oh, I know something about this because instinctually that's what I do. I know something about this topic. I'm going to say what I know. Little did I know, I look like a fucking crazy person with
welcome
a fucking
to my life, man. Welcome. You just lived a day in the shoes of Nick. How did it feel?
Oh my God. Felt like they were going to next, like, oh, do you line your fucking COVID mask with tinfoil and you have enough in your back pocket you wear on your head when you sleep? Oh God. But it was funny. It was definitely like they got a kick out of it, but I do feel like there was a bit of concern in the conversation, and I had to be like, guys, I do a podcast about this. I couldn't even tell them that. So I just look crazy.
Yeah. Because you don't want them to look up what we talk about. Then they're going to hear us saying the worst things. They're going to hear us talking about, I don't know, Christian, you know?
Yeah. That whole bit. And, they just met me. I was super polite. I didn't swear at all. I feel like I was on my best behavior. And if they know is I have a podcast, and if they find it, and if fuck they, oh man, I think they might be, they have a way of finding it, but I'm hoping they're so disinterested that they're going to see the number of episodes we have and be like, ah, fuck that.
Yeah, dude. You know what? I called them backwoods people. And if they listen to this, and if you're listening to this, hey, most of my father's extended family lives in Wisconsin. I have the right to call them backwoods people. Okay.
That's true.
I know what it's like there. Just a bunch of cheese and woods and it's fucking, it's Wisconsin, man. Well, like, what do you, and the accents, they'll drive you batty. They will. Yeah. How was it, dude? How was it for you? Cause like, how was it?
I enjoyed it. What? I enjoy it. Kenosha, like all that
stuff.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, buddy. You're talking about reptilians here. Oh, okay.
Oh, really? And like, it wasn't too heavy. It was only on specific words where the accent came out and stuff. But I do got to say, yes, it is a land of cheese. And yes, it is a land of beer. And yes, it's a land of woods and humidity. But goddamn, dude, that cheese is fucking delicious. And I brought beer back, man. It was that good.
Good for you, man. Hey, you know what? It's the simple things in life, you know?
Yeah. No, and that's what I actually learned a valuable lesson there. You know, I live in fast-paced California. It's kind of nice to, you know, see people who just don't really give a shit about being famous. They're like, oh, man, I just want to drink my beer, you know, hang out with my wife and have some kids and buy a fucking house at the age of 22. So cool. It's so cheap out there. But yeah, and you know what? They probably know more about aliens than we do. I'm sure they see it more than we do.
I bet you they do, and I bet you they were just holding information from you because they thought you were fucking a G-man. They thought you were from the fucking government, man, coming from California, eh?
Yeah, they had to see if they could trust me first.
Well, I'm glad you're back, and I'm glad I'm back, and we're both back in black.
Yep, almost in black. Well, no, I got black shorts. But anyways, that's besides the point. We should jump into it because long intro. Like I said, it's been a while since we've recorded together. Whenever we do a solo episode, it's basically, you know, it's a weekly podcast, so that's like half a month. So, yeah.
So long intro. Yeah. You guys can suck our nuts if you don't like it. All right. half the reason we do this podcast is for our personalities. What do you want us to jump into the information over? Welcome to Close Encounters. Anyway, so let's get into what we're talking. Yeah, what do we
information? No, we're trying to deviate from that. Plus, you know, this is a good time for me and Nick to even hang out. So, like, yeah, you know, we love you guys, but also like, hey, you know, suck our nuts. Like, we're fucking doing
if you don't
what we
like it,
do.
Suck my left one. All right.
Yeah.
It's so big. A couple of you guys can do it at the same time.
Wait until we get a fucking signed contract. Then we'll have our shorter intros. But for now, while we're doing it independently, you know what? It is what it is.
That's right. But we probably should start our horoscope. So Tasker, do you want me to go first on horoscopes and then we'll switch it off?
Sounds good to me. By the way, just a random side note, it's now August. We're almost back to horror scopes.
Oh, it is almost that time, guys. Horror scopes instead of horoscopes.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, stay tuned for that. That'll be in like 8 episodes. So,
yeah,
till then.
Spooky.
Yeah, what you got for us?
Don't miss any opportunities today, Cancer. No matter how tired you may be, this isn't the time to rest. This is one of those days in which it's simply easier to be you. There's no need to shy away or hide your true desires. Say what you want and you'll get it. Oh, that's good to know. There's no reason to beat around the bush. Keep in mind that unexpected energies will get thrown into the mix.
Well, Chris Chan fucking his mom, I think, is a good unexpected energy for one.
It did bring me it. I feel bad for Barbara. Don't get me wrong. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of fucked, but also like, I've been waiting for something like this to happen for a long time, and this might be the end of an era.
Well, it's crazy because I know we're going to do a lot of Chris Chan today, probably, but it's just because he kind of fizzled away from the internet. He kind of went and then he's right back on top. And what's even crazier is Edmund McMillan, the guy who made Super Meat Boy and The Binding of Isaac, he released an update to this card game. And he actually, one of the big reveals was that one of the bonus cards, if you paid the money on the Patreon or whatever, the Kickstarter, Chris Chan made one of the cards, and now this shit comes out like a month later. Little did he know that he was actively fucking molesting his fucking mom the whole process.
Damn. Oh, man. And there's rumors, if you look close enough at the interactions between Chris and Barbara throughout their lives, there's rumors. Now, I'm not victim blaming. I'm not doing anything here, but there's rumors that Barbara had been kind of grooming him in a sexual manner this whole time. So is it? I'm pretty sure she has full on dementia, or she's not all there and probably can't fully consent. So whatever's happening is probably no bueno. But damn, man, your mom, she's 80, dude.
Yeah. Let's just say I hope that case is public because, boy, I'd love to see some explaining because he's got a fucking lot to do.
Good energies, except for, feeling bad for Barb. But sex, 3 out of 5. Hustle, 3 out of 5. Vibe, 2 out of 5. And success, 2 out of 5. Kind of iffy today, but, it is what it is.
Yeah, we're at where we're at. Let's see. On my end, we got, generally speaking, today should be a good day for you, Scorpio. You should have no problem setting a fast-paced tone for the day and sticking to it. There are opportunities in the strange and bizarre. Don't limit yourself by thinking narrowly. Let the electricity of the day lighten the atmosphere and give your attitude the jolt it needs to get back on track. Be open to new ideas. Sure.
Yeah, basically telling you to keep forging ahead.
Yep, carpe diem, all that bullshit,
Yeah, carpets and DMs. Yes, I got it.
That's what the kids are using nowadays, right?
What did you say, carpe diem?
Carpe diem, seize the day.
CS. Oh, yeah, dude, I know Spanish or whatever, Chinese.
Yeah. Good to be back. Sex is a 2 out of 5. Hustle's a 3 out of 5. Vibes, 2 out of 5. Success is a 2 out of 5. Kind of a good, a little actually lower than average, but okay.
Yeah, it's hit and miss. I mean, my stars, they're pretty crappy, but I feel better than my stars, so.
I was going to say, I feel better than when my stars are good, so I don't know. It's hard to say, but like you said, we do use a free horoscope website in order to get the tone of our episode to see what we're getting into, so I don't know. Maybe the Chris Chan thing is the fucking nail in the coffin and we've already fucked this episode up and then nobody's going to listen to it anymore.
Maybe.
So who knows?
Maybe.
Guess we'll see.
All right, guys. Well, hello and welcome back to the show with both of your hosts here today. Now, you saw the title, right? And you kind of heard us talking about it a little while ago. You know what time it is, all right? Because you all seem to enjoy the episode we did back on episode 70 with the Lacerda Files. And God knows that there are enough transcripts for us to do another part, okay? So... And that's what we plan to do today. You guys liked it. There's more content. Let's fucking put it out there. So without further delay, notebooks out. Again, this is a notebooks out episode, just like the first Lacerda Files was. We're going to be learning more about the reptilian species to be more understanding and open-minded about their culture, at least part of their culture, because we're diving right into this.
Yep, this is one of those where we're hearing it straight from the horse's mouth or the lizard's mouth, whatever the fuck you want to say. Why I think, thank you. And that's why these episodes are important, because for somebody like me who's just slowly slipping on this slippery, slidey slope of crazy and just straight up full tilt, like ufologist, you know, we need more info before we can really develop our opinions here. As I think I've said this before, I feel like throughout this entire, the entirety of our lifetime of our show, I've been slowly going crazier bit by bit and slowly starting to come to the dark side. So,
yeah because now you're at parties with 2B family and you're starting to bring this shit up. Welcome to it, man. You've reached that level.
I don't know what that says. I don't know if that says I'm just too easily convinced or you're just too convincing or the fact that we've just been neck deep in the soup for years. So
I think it's
the latter. Why not? Probably, but why not just go even further? And like you said, our last time we did this episode, this type of episode, you guys seemed to like it a lot. So we're going to do another. We got so much to talk about.
That's right. And look, on the last episode, I didn't re-listen to it in preparation for this episode. I don't remember if I did like any voice work or if Tasker did any voice work. I'm going to just fuck around and have some fun with it. So maybe Lacerda in one section will be French. Maybe in another section she'll be Scottish. I don't know. We'll see what the world brings us, dude.
Right.
This is basically just a platform for me to practice my voice work.
So there you go. And it's because, you know, your up and coming career as a voice actor always begins with podcasting.
That's right. And once they hear this and they know that I'm not as offensive as I am, even though it is very offensive, most of the things I say on here. And hey, I got a job lined up and waiting for me.
There you go. I mean, as they say, radio is simply theater of the mind.
Theater. Yes.
Theater. So first of all, for any of you who haven't listened to the first one, what the fuck is the Lacerda Files? What are we dealing with here?
Yes, we do need to give a brief refresher on what this is, because either A, some of you, you know, maybe you're new listeners, you're clicking on this for the first time. First off, thank you and welcome. And you didn't listen to episode 70, which was Lacerda Files Part 1, or you guys have, and it has been a little while, and you just don't remember, like me.
Yeah, and disregard the part about sucking our nuts earlier that we said. If you're new, hey, okay, you'll be part of the club soon.
Yeah, and that's just the initiation. Don't worry about it. So the Lacerda Files is the name given to a collection of transcripts from a real-life interview with a reptilian female named Shakask.
Yeah, but pronouncing it like that would probably get you killed, right?
Yeah, she and you know what? That's something they bring up in when we went over it the first time. She knows that we're all kind of retarded monkeys down here and that we don't quite understand their language. So she just gave us the name Lacerda to call her because it's something that we can use our puny brains to comprehend.
Yeah, and it's like super, super offensive if like we try and get it wrong, right?
Oh, yeah. So that was my second time doing it out loud. So I'm pretty sure she's somewhere pissed in another dimension. You know, she heard that.
Because if all of this is true, and Lacerda and reptilians, they live way longer than we do, I imagine.
Yeah. Yeah. So she's going to hold a grudge and I'm sorry. All right. If me pronouncing her name wrong is what kind of like broke the straw, whatever the fuck that saying is, I'm about a camel's back or a camel toe or something. And then, if that's what causes a war between humans and reptilians, I'm sorry. All right.
Well, here's what I think is going to happen when as you said, there will be an inevitable day where the reptilians are just going to storm the gate and just like, you know, fist us to death, basically. My favorite's going to be when they come to get you. It's going to be Lacerda herself. And you're going to be like, why are you doing this? And she's going to like play the little bit of you like pronouncing her name.
And giggling at the end.
Yeah, before fucking pulling your fucking heart out of your throat.
You know what reminds me? You said fisting us to death. And that's, first off, not a terrible way to go. But, it depends, right? It depends on if they're nice about it.
I don't think it depends, but sure.
All right. Anyway, there was a time, and it was recorded, and I listened to the whole thing, when a troll pretending to be a girl interested in Chris Chan, got him to shove his Shauna Chu medallion up his butt, and it's all recorded.
Oh no, video,
audio, and you can hear him. Like you can hear him do his like his stress sighs. He's like, "Nah," and she's like, "How is it?" He's like, "Oh, it's cold."
God.
And there was a point where he's like, I'm gonna break it in half, might be easier, you know. And he just and the whole reason they got him to do it was because they hacked his PSN account and wouldn't give it back to him unless
This, like I said, watch the documentaries. This shit is just like, you can't write this shit. It's just too like, it's too, even if they did like a fictionalized like retelling, it's just, you can't even come close to what actually happened. They like got him to fucking send his like Shauna Chu medallion, and they just like made a video of them just like burning it.
Yeah, and putting it in a pickle jar, and he hates pickles. Oh, my God.
Woo. Jeez. All right. Anyways.
Anyway, so... for those of you new to this, that's why it's called Lacerda Files, because she is taking the human name Lacerda for us to pronounce.
Right. Make it easier so we don't get our fucking face slashed off, because she basically just, in a very uncharacteristic nature, let us interview her. It was like two guys, right?
Yes. Two guys. One was a friend named EF. It's that's all we have is that EF abbreviation.
Sorry, pseudonym. Yeah.
And then the man conducting the interview, that the one that you'll hear voiced by us today, is a man named Ollie K. And it's EF's friend. And actually there is a part in the transcripts later in the episode where, it's brought up, how did Lacerda meet EF in the first place? And how did all this come to be? So we will get a little bit of insight in that.
Mm-hmm. So this will be interesting. Like, yeah, like we said, this is a very rare glimpse into what reptilians have to say. And we wonder sometimes how this even came to be, or maybe Lacerda's dead. Maybe she knew she was going to get killed, and that's why she decided to reveal some info.
Yeah, I mean, that very well could be, because I have a feeling the shit that she's been telling us in both of these transcripts probably shouldn't be telling us. Stuff that the reptilians want out. But with that being said, I will warn those of you who are listening for the first time, Lacerda's kind of a bitch, all right? She's kind of like fed up with our shit, like, you know, time's a construct and she's got shit to do. So be warned that there will be like a passive aggressiveness in her answers, or sometimes just a full-on aggressiveness. So it's kind of fun.
Yeah, which makes sense for her species.
Yes, very cold, very reptilian. I mean, what do you expect? And... Now, on the last episode of the Lacerda Files that we did, we chose questions and answers from the transcripts from the 1999 interview. And in this episode, we will be choosing questions and answers from the interview conducted in 2000. There was two separate interviews. This is the second one that we're going to be going over today.
Right.
All right. So without further delay, guys, let's hop into this shit. I'm pretty excited. Let's just do it.
All righty. Let's see what happens.
All right, people. So to begin, there is a preemptive comment here by Ollie K, right? The guy doing the interview. And it says, the meeting began with an appraisal of diverse questions and opinions, which I had gotten from readers of the first transcript in anonymous fashion through distribution from my trustworthy friends. Some of these opinions altogether, there were over 14. Oh, God. Sorry. Oh.
Nice one.
It was Red Bull. Yeah, coming back up.
That would have been amazing to get on the air. You know we'd have to keep it in.
Altogether, there were over 14 pages of paper contained comments shaped by everything from a radically religious, to a fanatical tendency to welcome contact with reptilian species. Some of these comments contain stereotypical phrases like, quote, servants of hell, unquote, or species of the evil one. I don't want to go into any kind of detailed description here, since I don't want to pass on further any false and radical realm of thought. That's Ollie's opening comment, basically saying there was a lot of religious people leaving comments and opinions on the first set of interview transcripts, saying that these are like the devil, they're not aliens, they're the devil, or if they are aliens, they welcome, they think maybe they're angels and they're welcoming them to our planet. It's so super religious for some reason.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, like we've talked about and touched on before, like biblically they say, you know, angels or all those things may have been just like reptilians appearing in an ancient time. We were a simpler people back then. And that explanation made a lot more sense than interdimensional creature, you know?
True. And if it's something that people got to fall back on as a crutch, I understand.
Don't blame them. They're fucking terrifying.
Yes. All right. Do you want to do the first question?
All righty. Okay. So here we go. And let's see. I think in post, we'll add some dramatic music to play in the background for your listening enjoyment.
Oh, woo-hoo. That'll go well with my accents, too.
Oh, Jesus. All right. Let's see. So the question begins with, when you read these religious and animosity-ridden comments here, what do you think and feel then? Is the relationship between your species and ours really shaped from that kind of total negation?
Does it amaze you that I'm not completely angered by that? I had fully expected those kinds of extreme reactions.
I don't know. The programming.
How intimidating.
The programming for the utter negation of another species, especially the reptilian species, as in your own case, is deeply embedded in each of your own individual consciousness. This ancient conditioning stems from the days of your third artificial creation and, biologically speaking, is passed down as an information genome from generation to generation. So, Tasker, when you were talking about the fact that it was a way that people believed back in the day because of, you know, the religion put that in their minds, you're not wrong. That's exactly what Lucerne is saying.
Fuck yeah. That's one for me.
Thinking like a reptilian. That's suspicious.
Hate it.
That's real suspicious. The identification of my species with the powers of darkness was a primary intention of the Illogim, who liked seeing themselves in the role of the powers of light, something which in and of itself represents a paradox, since that humanoid species was extremely sensitive to your sunlight. Very interesting.
Hmm.
In case you were expecting me to act offended, I guess I'll have to partially disappoint you. See, she's kind of a bitch.
Yeah. Got that, like, really pretentious, kind of like a computer nerd in, like, ninth grade.
Yeah. Yeah. It's talking about, like, binary code and, you know, maybe speaking in binary since you don't know it and they think it's cool, you know?
Yeah. Acting a little bit smarter than you just because they run, like, Ubuntu.
Yeah. Ridiculous. These obscure intentions are not really your fault. You're simply following, for the most part, what you have inherited from your ancestors. It is indeed actually somewhat disappointing that many of you develop no especially strong individual self-conscious, for this would help you to overcome the conditioning. So I think she's saying that we are preconditioned to believe in religion.
Yeah, she's calling us simple monkeys.
She's calling us monkeys praying to sun gods.
Yep, and that's all we're good for, and that's as far as we can go, and that, oh, if only you were more developed.
Oh, if only.
I've heard that one in bed before.
Yes, yeah, I'm sure. I've heard it. Me too, buddy. Every once in a while, they tell me it looks like a baby thumb.
Okay, so they just tell me, maybe you should just try watering it.
Yeah, if only, you know, there's surgeries for that, you know, we can figure
it
out.
Yeah, but that costs money.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's depressing. As I already said, we were in direct contact in the last several centuries with some of your more primitive human tribes. These tribes had themselves succeeded in breaking through the old, quote, creation programming, unquote. They were able to meet us without tension, hate, and total rejection. Very interesting. So these primitive tribes, the ones that were around before organized religion, didn't... So I guess what she's saying is they didn't fear them as, like, demons because they had no preconceived notion of that shit.
Oh, we just feared them because they're fucking using us as human cattle for their eventual... giant feast in the future, right?
That's a different fear. Yeah, that's a whole other, like, I'm about to be eaten, you know?
Right.
Apparently, many of your modern civilized individuals are not in a position to think on their own. but rather let themselves be guided by programming and religion, which is also a manifestation of that ancient programming and part and parcel of the plan of the Elohim. Therefore, comments of that kind I'd sooner regard as amusing than irritating. They simply confirm in large measure for me my suppositions about your defined mode of thinking. So she's calling us as Chris Chan would put it, slow in the minds.
Yeah, that's so this was just a really pretentious extendedly worded roast, basically, to the human race.
Yeah, I mean, you put a beat behind it, you change some of the words to like rhyme every once in a while, and you got a diss track. You know what I mean?
Basically, wow, that's really fucking pretentious.
All right, next question: is there a scientific substantiation for paranormal powers, as for example, with your powers of thought?
The reptilian replies, yes. In order to explain that, one has to acknowledge the physical reality of the sphere of influence. We could cut this. What's Feldrum?
I don't know.
type there in the outline and just, it's like it's attributed to a quote or something.
Oh, it's a field sphere of influence, I guess. That's like a psychic ability.
I see. So that's just like a term for it.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess that's what they call their like sphere of influence for their mental.
I get it though. I think I can spin it.
Okay.
Let me, I'll just reset it. Yes. In order to explain that, one who is. Was that Curb Your Enthusiasm? Great start today. All right, let's try this again. Yes, in order to explain that, one has to acknowledge the physical reality of the sphere of influence. In parentheses, it says Feldrum, which is another word for sphere of influence. I'll try to do it. Wait just a second. You're going to have to separate yourself mentally from the illusion that which you see is the true nature of the universe. It is, at best, the surface of a side. Imagine for yourself that all matter here, you, this table, this pencil, this technical device, this paper, does not really exist, but that it is rather only the result of a field oscillation and a concentration of energy. All matter that you see, every creature, every planet and star in this universe, has an information energy equivalent in the sphere of influence, which is located on a main field, the general level of things. I think. Is that what's?
Yeah. So, basically, what Lacerda is saying at this point is everything in the universe can be put onto this Feldrum, right? This sphere of influence. And that is just like pure consciousness energy and might not actually be like a physical object. And
I see.
In this field, it looks like the general level is like the one that the things that we see, like my vape and this microphone, you know?
So everything is made of energy. We perceive it as physical, but they can see it beyond the physical and can, in a sense, I guess, manipulate it.
I'm pretty sure that's where this is going.
Got it. Okay. So back to it. Now, there is not only one level, but several. Last time I had mentioned that highly developed species, which is capable of changing levels, which is something completely different from the simple bubble changing, for bubbles are a part of each and every entry level. Do you understand? Dimensions, as you call them, are part of a solitary bubble. Bubbles, or universal foam, are a part of a level, and levels are layers in the sphere of influence, while the sphere of influence, acting in the capacity of single physical size, is essentially unending. It is composed of innumerable information energy layers and general levels. They are in the sphere of influence, no null levels. All are the same, but they are separated by means of their energy conditions. I notice that I am confusing you now. I think I ought to stop with this explanation. Yeah, no fucking shit.
What a cunt.
What the fuck is she talking about?
Well, okay, so what we call dimensions, right? Because we've talked about dimensions and vibrations many times on this podcast, all right? So those are the terms that we're familiar with. Now, with dimensions, and you reach a certain vibration from yourself,
to reach different dimensions, right? And different species on different dimensions have different vibrations.
Yeah.
Basically, Lacerda is saying, calling this Feldrum, the sphere of influence, the entirety of everything, like we, like a universe and it's all of its dimensions. And she's calling these different circles and spheres, basically they're just different dimensions, like bubbles and shit. So like what she's calling bubbles and spheres is what we would call like dimensions. So it's kind of okay. The same thing.
It's just different words, basically different terms.
She's just being pretentious. She's just changing it. Cause what, like, bitch. Do you think that bubbles sounds better than dimensions? Like she does.
Dimensions is way cooler.
Yeah. What's her problem? Like she's doing it just to fuck with us.
I see. That's right. Yeah. She's, almost begrudgingly giving us answers. So as we're coming to find, and as it was in the last episode too, a little bit of a little sarcasm, a little bit of a hint of irritation.
Yeah, because she's dealing with lesser beings, I guess.
I guess. All right. For the next question, our boy asks, no, please continue. How do concrete paranormal powers arise?
Well, okay then. Let's try something simpler. Let's try something simpler. Again, it is not completely correct, but let's begin in this manner. Tangible matter on this side is mirrored in the sphere of influence as a field with distinct layers. These layers contain information, as an example, about the simple structure of matter or the string frequency. But also, there is stored information stemming from the development of matter. Are you familiar with the human concept of morphogenetic fields? One part of the layer could be designated as such. Now, there is still another intermediary layer for which you unfortunately have no human concept, since the theory is not common in human thinking. Let's call it a paralayer, for this layer is mainly responsible for everything which you call PSI and paranormal, and which lies outside the boundaries of your primitive science. So at this point, I think she's talking of, well, first off, very rude calling it primitive science.
Extremely.
What a terrible fucking dinner guest she would be.
Yeah, that'd be rough. And she probably wouldn't even compliment the food. Wouldn't even eat it. She just like, you know, throw it in her dick hole and then just like just leave it there for later.
So what she's saying is this paralayer is what is responsible for like psychic abilities, ghosts, paranormal shit. But we would call that probably the spirit realm. It's another dimension where our spirits reside. So that's the best way I could equate it to like what we would call it.
I see. So with these like bubbles and spheres, which we call dimensions, we only can go so far. There's only a certain number we can get to. The paranormal one is one right above us, right?
Pretty much, because it's super close. I mean, at least in my opinion, because, you know, if it wasn't close, we wouldn't have ghost sightings and shit. So,
makes sense.
Yeah, very, very interesting. Very interesting indeed. Yes.
That's quite. All right.
This paralayer lies between the layers of matter and the morphogenetic layers of a field in the sphere of influence. It can actively integrate with both. See, boom, she just answered the question. It's close to both, so it can interact with both. That means, you know, paranormal shit's going to slip out of the paralayer into our layer.
Okay, I see. Because when it comes to like the world around us, the physical world, reality, nothing's perfect. It works and it has its own level of stability, but if it's in nature, there's a little bit of wiggle room.
Exactly. Your body, for example, is mirrored as a field in the sphere of influence. That doesn't mean that it does not also exist here as well, as flesh, blood, and bones, in the form of matter, strings, or atoms, but not only that. Existence is always a duality. Some layers of the field contain simple information about the solid matter of your body and its frequency, while other layers contain information about your spirit, your consciousness, or, speaking from a human religious point of view, your soul.
So everything is countable.
Very interesting what they're saying. This crazy bitch might be onto something.
Yeah, and that's why she feels like she can be a bitch to begin with, because she's like, I'm about to blow your goddamn mind. But I'm not happy about it.
But I'm sitting here just because you guys offered me Cheez-Its.
Yeah. Cheez-Its are pretty tasty.
Mm. I had a dream once that little black girls and little white boys. Oh, wait, no. I had a dream
sorry, that was the late great Martin Luther King Jr. speech. I apologize. I had an actual dream though that I was bathing in Cheez-Its once, and I want to make that a reality one day.
You know, if when the Patreon happens, that's going to be the first stretch goal, is because you're going to have to film it if you do.
Oh, I will 100% put it on YouTube for our listeners. If they want to see me take a bath in Cheez-Its, hey, I'm not going to king shame anybody. So,
yep. And that could be kind of funny. You could do like a quick 30-minute episode, just you with a glass of wine and a bath full of Cheez-Its.
Eat my way out.
Yeah. I mean, hell, even I'd watch it. So that might actually be very good for our platform.
She goes on to continue. Awareness or consciousness is the case. In this case, is a simple energy matrix divided into different layers of your field in the sphere of influence. Nothing more, nothing less. Genuine awareness can also exist here on this matter side, but only in the form of post-plasma, the fifth form of matter.
Wow.
There is a fifth form?
Post-plasma, huh?
That's what I call it when I finish jerking off.
Just shoot out this like purple ethereal like ectoplasm.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I have a condition.
I want to get that checked.
With the necessary physical knowledge and the corresponding technology, the consciousness / awareness matrix, or soul, as we call it, can also be separated from its field of rest. It can, despite its removal, continue to exist in a self-sufficient manner for a certain amount of time. That has the strange occult name of soul robbing, but above all, we're talking about science here, not about magic or dark forces. But back to your question. Well, first, I think that she's talking about something that some people would call so if we're separating soul and body into another dimension or another sphere or whatever, that sounds a lot like
astral projection.
Yeah, astral projection. Yeah, good job, man.
I'm telling you, I'm fucking learning too much here.
Yeah, buddy. But back to your question. Creatures with more powerful mental powers can have a direct influence on the paralayer by means of their consciousness / awareness fields. Now, this layer is not limited only to the individual, but rather as a part of a general information layer. You could call it in a prosaic sense, the community soul that is connected with all animate and inanimate matter and all consciousness, which exists on this main level. The biological cause of these abilities lies on the side of matter, by the way, in the pituitary gland. All right. What has Nick been talking about this whole time, bruv? He's been talking about your fucking pituitary gland, aka your third eye, dog.
Yep. Decalcify it.
Decalcify that shit, man. Damn.
You'd be proud. In my travels, I barely got to shower. In fact, I turned down a shower because we were running behind at one point.
Good for you. Subconsciously, you did it because you knew it was the right move.
Exactly. I think my inner magician or whatever is starting to just reveal itself over all these years.
The pituitary gland, which always is in the position to generate the frequencies to actively control the sphere of influence. That's all you need to know. And that's all. Okay. So when Lacerda starts talking about it, everybody's like, oh shit, what a revelation. But when Nick was talking about it episodes ago, at the beginning of our podcast, nobody batted an eye, man. I know. Well, yeah. I see where your loyalties, everybody's loyalties lie with the reptilians, huh?
Well, to be fair, if a giant fucking space lizard started telling me shit, I'd nod my head to everything they said.
I feel like some people are disloyal to me.
That's the burden of the truth, huh?
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah. I actually did just watch Terminator 1 and 2 for the first time. And old Sarah Connor, nobody believed her.
Dude, fucking great movies. That is great one of the movie. Few times when the sequel is probably better than the original. It was fucking great, wasn't it?
Oh, fantastic. And then we watched all the trailers for the other ones. And dude, I actually think we did a dig on that a couple episodes ago.
Yes,
yeah,
we did.
boy, were you correct. That was there. They do not look good at all. The Genesis one looks the worst of them all.
Oh my God. They're train wreck. They are actual train wrecks.
Yikes. Well, good to know. But yeah, like we said, burden of the truth. It sucks to be the only one who knows what's happening, huh?
Yeah, buddy. Nobody believes you till it's too late.
Yep.
Even you people could theoretically do this. However, you are solidly blocked in these things. As I have said, the Parallayer can interact with mind as well as with matter. For example, if I decide to use my mental powers once more in order to move this pencil, then simply said, I imagine in my mind how my consciousness slash awareness expands slash amplifies itself on the matter side in the form of post-plasma to the pencil. In the sphere of influence, this causes simultaneously an automatic command from the consciousness layer to the Parallayer to interact with the matter layer of the pencil. Right? And since the Parallayer is not confined to the body, it is not even a problem that the pencil lies over there, for I can unerringly reach it even without moving my matter body. Post-plasma on this side, Parallayer on the other. I have control over the pencil, and the interaction brings the matter field of the pencil to the point where it changes in the matter in which it moves, for example.
So the question is, what is post-plasma? And it sounds like it's the vessel of which to cross layers.
That's what it sounds like to me. It sounds like it's a fifth form of matter that only they can manipulate or see even.
Convenient.
Very convenient for them, because they can move pencils and shit. I can't do that.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, so there is a way, basically what they're saying is there is a way to breach these different layers and stuff like that. And post-plasma is the means to the end. Like, that's the force, one could say, or one could say the fifth element is psychic energy in a way.
Right. I think calling post-plasma psychic energy would be, yeah, I think that's probably what we're dealing with. If you have somebody who has like a super open third eye and they have really cool psychic abilities, maybe they can manipulate post-plasma and they don't even know it.
So this was just a 3 fucking page explanation of shit we already knew.
Yes. But it's stuff but they're going
yeah.
But she's going into detail about how it works between the dimensions, which is kind of neat.
Okay, all right, I guess.
So, next question for Lacerda. Only one last question about the paranormal. At our first meeting in December, you made it quite clear that you didn't want us to discuss scientific and paranormal concerns. Why the openness now?
The last time I saw really no necessity in overburdening you with facts of that kind, and now you are obviously overburdened.
What a bitch.
I know. Jeez. Right with the roast in the beginning. Therefore, I preferred only to mention these topics in a peripheral sense. Apparently, however, some of my performances today have set you to thinking about your world, something that can't be all bad. And by the way, your human scientists will tend to regard my comments as humbug. And so I see no great danger in spreading this information widely. No one will pay much attention to it. By the way, the words of people who have characterized me as a creature of evil have their basis in their belief in occult powers and magic, both of which things do not exist.
Continue. Yeah. You continue. Continue with this next sentence, and I got something to say.
All right. There is no magic, only highly developed science, and everything that you label as magic is only a part of science. If you would only comprehend that, then you would be a step ahead in your development. My openness on this issue ends here. Pose other questions, please.
So, Lacerda has the gall, right, to come up in this hoopty and start talking about how magic isn't real. And she just calls literally. Okay, all right, sure. Okay, all my witches out there, guess what? We're going to war with the reptilians, and let's see who comes out on top.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Especially because I know on our Discord, the magic page has been getting more use than I expected.
And I'm happy about that. And I'm so grateful, especially Anna, calling you out, spreading the good word of witchcraft and magic. And I think it's awesome. But apparently Lacerda doesn't think that's awesome. So we have a bone to pick with her, okay? Now, I know... We're going to get more into this when we do our magic series. Curses, black magic, that shit's kind of iffy. I'm going to do some of it, and I'm going to come down hard on Lacerda, all right?
Yeah, well, hopefully they... and what better time to start delving into it? Because apparently they can manipulate the Parallayer. But hey, if you can catch up, maybe that might be our last resistance against them.
That's right. Witches versus reptilians, man. And we'll come to your rescue.
That sounds like a fucking horrible B movie.
The audacity, though, man. The audacity for this reptilian bitch to come over here thinking she, you know, with her weird pocket crotch, right? She judges us with our magic. Whatever, man.
I love that you were into this until she said that magic isn't real. And it was like in all caps, too. So, you know, she emphasized it.
Yeah. That felt like a personal attack, to be honest.
Could be. But let's see what else they have to say. So our boy asks, good. Let's talk about UFOs. Can you explain to me how our governments came into possession of UFO material to the point that they could start their own projects? Did it have anything to do with the Roswell incident?
Yes, but that incident was not the first one. I am no historian. I am studying only your current behavior. So my knowledge about those events in your history is presumably not very extensive. I will try to explain to you what I know about those things which happened at that time. Let me think about it for a second. In the years 1940. Oh, that was a stage direction, my bad. In the years 1946 to 1953, in your time scale, there were 5 cases where extraterrestrial ships crashed to the surface of the Earth. In that crash, which you call the Roswell incident, there was not only one alien ship involved, but 2 that crashed after a collision in different parts of the land in the West, the one you call the USA. You have to know that the ships of this particular species can remain levitating in the air for a particular period of time, even though they are damaged. That accounts for the spatial difference in their crash locations. These were indeed not the first crashes, but by that time, the 2nd and 3rd. Another ship had crashed in 1946, but was destroyed beyond usability. One thing first before the explanation. It certainly sounds ridiculous to you that such highly developed extraterrestrial ships simply crash, and that a relatively large number did so in a relatively short amount of time. The explanation for that is likewise more than strange, but is correct. It does not lie in the ship's drive itself, but rather in the direction of the field of your planet. This species that we are discussing, and it was always in this time period that the species used a disc-shaped craft, used a propulsion system which ran according to the normal principle of fusion, to be sure, but one that at the time employed a more than unconventional method for field alignment. This method had various advantages, but also disadvantages. The repelling field must, of course, lie in the absolute correct angle to the surface of the Earth. This species used an alignment technology in their ships with which the field locked into place all points of the Earth's magnetic field. Now, at the time, this species arrived on the Earth at their point of origin, lay on a planet with a more stable magnetic field for which they had developed and aligned their drive. So it's not because, this advanced species can't pilot for shit. It's because this is also their bad, but they basically created their ships for their magnetic field on their planet, but didn't take into account that our planet had a different magnetic field and it fucked up their propulsion system.
I see. So it's just an error that nobody really could have foreseen. And it took a couple attempts before they realized how to fix it.
I think so. I think that's what's happening here. That's why we don't get a lot of crashes anymore, is because they're like, oh, that's what's going on. And they totally fixed that shit.
That's kind of a cool explanation. That's actually far better than most, I think, in terms of like why. Because, yeah, I was about to say, like, why the fuck are they so bad at piloting? But they're not. It's just they relied on automatic systems and robots to do everything. And they didn't account for what Earth's just kind of a very eclectic planet.
Yeah. Man, that's a very interesting explanation. I like that a lot.
Yeah, I dig it.
The magnetic field of the Earth is not really all that stable. It is subject to cyclical variations, and it forms field eddies under unfavorable conditions. Whenever a ship with one of those kinds of drives gets into a field fluctuation or into an eddy that is too strong, then for a short time, the repelling field can no longer align itself correctly, and the ship glides uncontrolled onto its flight path. The drive is operating currently, to be sure, but the field fluctuates in all directions, and because of that, the ship can crash. Oh, okay. So, so they stay on their path that they were going to land at, like their course, but they can't control the ship because of the field fluctuations. So like their autopilot or something is out. So like they're going to where they want to go, but they're crashing into it.
I see. So they're still, okay. So it's not a complete system failure. So they were just like, that's why they weren't tripping probably until it was too late. They realized seconds before they were going too fast and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah. They're like, okay, we'll land. Wait, why aren't we landing? And then boom.
Fuck.
In the hands of the American government.
What a shame.
In the case from 1947, which you addressed, it is my understanding that one of the ships got caught in a fluctuation. Its field linked up unintentionally with that of its squadron leader, and it collided with another ship, whereby both of them were heavily damaged. The cause for the magnetic fluctuation at that time was probably an electrical disturbance brought about by a weather event. Both ships crashed as a result. One of them fell near the collision point and the other, 100 of your kilometers or so distant. All occupants were killed in the impact. The thin hull structure of that kind of disc craft is in and of itself not very stable, since those discs have not been designed for crashes as well as for flight in a field where there are exterior forces at work. Interesting. Very interesting.
So we pretty much had natural protection against extraterrestrials for a very long time. I mean, they figured it out now, but for a bit, you know, we fucked them over without even trying.
That's right, man. Earth's Mother Nature's, you know, mood swings really fucked with them.
Earth go hard, as little Dickie might say.
Yeah. Now, your human military collected the individual pieces at first until they discovered the whole ships with the dead creatures aboard. Immediately, they classified everything as top secret and brought them to their military bases in order to analyze the drive. The secret endeavor was to set the alien technology in place later against evil enemies of that great country. That is as primitive as it is ridiculous. Okay. All right.
Wow.
I don't want to specify exactly your date. That it was probably between 1949 and 1952 that there was a rather bad accident during some research being done on one of the wrecks. According to what I heard, what members of my species were told by members of that government, it resulted in an unintentional activation of one of the drive's components in the unshielded condition. As a result, for a very short period of time, how should I phrase this? There was an unchecked shift in the environment to a plasma-like condition, which on the other hand, though a very, very unfortunate accident, caused an overturning of the general power field into a magnetic pulse of immense power. Do you have any idea what kind of an effect a plasma magnetic jolt has when it comes to contact with an organism? No. How should you know that? Oh my God.
Wow.
Of course you don't. Mean. That's what she says after. Of course you don't. Like we're monkeys being trained sign language or something. Good God.
Basically.
Disturbance in the structure of the field and bioelectric feedback. Imagine, if you will, a human body which is engulfed in bright flames for 3 to 4 of your days. Those flames apparently do not go out and they burn the body right down to its last constituents. I've never had to say that word out loud before. Well,
good job.
Thank you. Then you have an approximate impression of what happened. I think that 20 or 30 of your scientists were killed in that lab.
Damn. Oh boy.
Two further crashes occurred in 1950 and 1953 in the water catchment area of the American continent. Those ships were able to be recovered from the crashes relatively intact. The one in 1953, as I remember, even had an intact drive core. It was by means of that device that you saw for the first time that you had understood the entire concept fully incorrectly and that you had reconstructed it fully incorrectly. Oh my God. Even today, you still don't have it right. Oh my God. Dude.
Wow. Everyone's a critic.
Everybody's a critic, especially this lizardy, sneaky lady. Good God.
Yep. Not even giving us a little bit of credit. Just like, nope, you guys are fucking special at all.
It's like she probably thinks that what we're doing is like putting like popsicle stick houses together.
Yeah, comparatively speaking.
That species, which had built the ships in the first place, a species which I, by the way, count among those who are unfriendly towards you, was naturally worried about the investigation of their own technology by your kind. They did not want, however, at that early point in time to begin direct conflict with you, and so they chose the diplomatic path and came into contact with that government during the 1960s. Of course, they did not divulge the real reasons for being here, copper, hydrogen, air, but rather they pretended to be curious researchers that offered to show people the functioning principle of the ships, whereby they could expect some in return some favors. So we're getting played because they want our natural resources and basically telling them that they'll give us some favors in return.
Yeah, so the whole thing was a ruse and everything the aliens told us, supposedly, when all that happened, because that was during, like, Eisenhower, right?
The 60s? I don't know. It doesn't specify when in the 60s this happened, but probably, yeah.
Yeah, because I remember we talked about before in, like, American presidents, like, there was, like, a specific time where aliens met with American government to be like, hey, let's cut a deal. But it turns out they didn't give a shit about the deal. They just want our resources.
Resources and our butts. That's all the only things they're after.
Perfect. Great stuff.
Simple-minded as you are. Wow. Just like that, huh? Mm.
Yep.
You, of course, agreed to it. Oh, geez. And were deceived. You gave them raw materials. You gave them secured locations for their bases. You gave them access to your most secret defense data. You gave them access to your DNA and much more. And all just to quench your greed for power and information. Well, that's true. And it is, and I blame the government for that.
Yep. We blew it.
The alien species, of course, quickly noticed that they were dealing with simple-minded creatures, and they gave you false and inferior information about their technology so that they received much more out of the collaboration than your kind do. Okay.
Oh.
Yeah, we got played hard.
Yeah, I believe it.
For example, they gave you information that the drive can only be constructed with unstable elements of a higher ranking number. But they withheld the information that the field drive can be constructed with various modifications to work as well with stable elements of a lower periodic number. And generally, that's the way it's done. So basically, they're saying, oh, you got to build this with uranium and plutonium and all this shit. And they're like, oh, you could just do that with carbon. We usually just do that with carbon, actually.
Mm-hmm. So very, very conveniently leaving out the easier parts of it.
Bastards.
Yeah.
Through these half-truths, they made you dependent on the synthesizing of high-numbered elements and thereby renewed by their own technology. Their clues to the construction of your UFOs were laid out in such a way that the solution to old problems caused new problems to arise simultaneously. They never told you the complete truth, but always built in again and again the clever lies, which later led to technical problems and to your dependence on them. Oh, man, that's smart, though.
Yeah, crap. Kept us, yeah, permanently handicapped with inferior tech and to keep us from figuring out the truth.
And rising perhaps above them. So the smart, it's Ooh. Fucked up, but smart. I'll give them that.
Yeah, I wonder if anybody's ever acted on that.
That's a good question. I don't know.
Because all this stuff is, I mean, we got it, so it's fairly open public data, so I don't know.
Man, this is a long answer, man. This Lacerda bitch just really wants to rub it in. There's one more section of this answer I'll read through, but man, she really just wants to shove it in our faces that we got screwed.
Yeah, felt like a chatterbox today, huh?
Yeah. In the last years of your 1970s and your early 1980s, it finally came down to various events between the alien species and that human government. I don't want to go into detail here since there is much that even I am not exactly sure of. The whole thing lay in the context with some new, or better said, that the old technical problems with your own self-constructed ships whose camouflage and drive partially failed to function in test flights in the open. Because of that, the function of secrecy was threatened. Your military and your politicians slowly, very slowly, came to the conclusion, after more than 20 years of this, that they had been deceived by that alien species.
so they figured it out themselves.
They're like, wait a second.
Yeah, hold the fuck on. Like,
multitudinous.
multitudinous incongruities. That's a fucking weird word.
And good way of putting it. But.
And the overstepping of bounds of the treaties by both sides finally led to an altercation between you and the extraterrestrials, which culminated in the liftoff of three of the alien aerial objects through a special, how do you say it, EMP, electromagnetic pulse, weapon, and a military skirmish at one of their underground installations. Now, there are plenty of... Now, this is Nick talking, not the quote.
Yeah.
There are plenty of underground military slash alien bases. I think that they're talking about the Dulce Wars. I could be wrong.
Dulce Wars.
Yes. Yes.
I don't know what the fuck that is at all. So that'll probably be an episode that we got to get into.
Eventually, we really should because it's fucking awesome. But I think they're talking about the Dulce Wars, where basically we go to war with the some aliens at an underground base in Dulce, New Mexico.
Okay, that's kind of cool.
It's pretty dope. As a consequence of these attacks, the alien species ultimately withdrew from all contact with you and was understandably more than angered about your kind. Therefore, I count these extraterrestrials among the three groups who are hostile towards you. And while the other two are more occupied with their own business, among them waging a cold war for dominance on your planet, your old quote-unquote friends and partners are preparing to supply themselves finally with the sole and absolute dominance over raw materials and human DNA. So this whole time, Lacerda has been saying these extraterrestrials, we know that she's talking about the Greys. All right, we'll put that on the table that they are talking about Grey aliens, okay?
Yep, and they are pissed.
They're pissed. Now, at the moment, it is probably true that they lack some of the technical possibilities and the large amount of forces which they need in order to achieve their goals directly. In spite of that, we are counting on negative actions, possibly ever of a more subtle kind, against you in the next few years or decades. So she's saying the Greys are pissed at us. We should probably be pissed at them too, but the Greys want to take over our planet for its resources and also steal our DNA, because as we've discussed in the past, one of the theories about Greys is they need our spermage and our eggage in order to reproduce it, because they can't anymore.
So, and I mean, this all that happened in like what, the 70s, you said?
Yes, this exact. Yeah, this little part right here. Yeah.
So, it's been a while since then, 50 years. So we might be due for it sooner than we think.
That's right. I mean, there might be some shit happening. I don't know. Maybe that vaccine you took. I don't know.
Oh, maybe COVID was, everyone wants to blame China, but maybe that's the Gray's first biological attack against us to see how we fare against it.
That's true. And let's be fair, Gray aliens and the China men, they look the same. Anyway, so they could definitely be like the same thing.
Not one of your better theories, I will say.
When I see an Oriental, that's what I'm like. Hey, that could definitely be a gray alien, you know. So
you're lucky you're Japanese. All I gotta say. How do I know I can't say the same thing about you?
Well, you don't know. I could be a hybrid.
That's true. That's very true. And you'd be right here feeding these quote unquote truths to the masses.
That's right. But little do y'all know, under your nose, here I am, and I'm ready to take your sperms. Give them to me.
That'll be a great quote for Nick. Quote, I'm here to take your sperms.
Eggs good are God. Gross. Give me your sperm.
Ugh, Jesus Christ.
They call me the Bukkake Master.
Wow. That's very, I'm sure you're proud of that.
Multiple at a time.
Multiple. It's just efficient, you know?
All right. And the next question for Lacerda. Will the other extraterrestrial species, aka the Greys, undertake nothing against these warlike actions? Specifically, something ought to be done on Earth for the more highly developed species.
You're wrong here. Simply for the more highly developed species, there is simply, at the very least, your fate. You are animals for them. Animals in a very large lab. Understandably, an alien intervention on your planet would disturb their projects, but I don't think they accept a confrontation with other species for it. Many of them could look for another research planet for themselves, or they could study over a long distance your behavior and your consciousness/awareness, since crisis situations could have an attraction to their study. whenever you people take a look at the at an anthill and another person comes along and steps on the anthill, what do? You go on your way or search for another anthill, or you observe the ants in the crisis condition. But would one of you, even though he were larger and more powerful than the one who stepped on the anthill in the first place, defend the meaningless ants? No. You have to imagine for yourself the viewpoint of the more highly advanced creatures. You are the ants. Don't expect any help from them.
Damn, bro. And also, what does she mean by you people?
Yeah, that's pretty fucking rude, you know, considering how she looks like.
Yeah, man. Oh, my goodness, dude. So we're ants. Well, I mean, I'm not surprised. All right. I know it's the truth. I know that to like most extraterrestrial species, advanced ones, at least we are like ants or monkeys. I just didn't want to hear it, you know?
Yeah, it's not very, I mean, you think they shot back at her like a your mama joke or something like that.
Yeah. Well, created Sonichu, you know?
Yeah. Oh man, there's so many poor ways we could have handled it, but fortunately it seems like our good old Ollie kept it together.
Yeah, he kept his shit. I'm surprised, but he's got patience for basically being called an idiot for like 3 hours straight. So
yep, right to his face. But yeah, also I'm sure it was a lot more tense in the moment, so I'm sure he was able to keep it together pretty easily. Oh boy, but it looks like there's a part two here. Of course, we would also ask for help when it became clear that your old partners were ganging up on you. Some members of that human government are fully aware of our existence, also partially owing to an old religious basis. For example, there's a gigantic, partially underground building in the capital which is totally dedicated to my species, and that also has a direct approach to an elevator shaft and to an underground system.
I knew it. Bro, under the capital of the United States, there is a shrine, apparently, to the reptilians. Who would have guessed? And why is that? Because the reptilian bloodlines are the ones fucking in the capital, dog.
Yeah, but how's the trade-off of, yes, there's a reptilian shrine in the capital, but on the trade-off, that magic doesn't exist.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, fuck her. Yeah. No, look. What she calls not magic is magic.
Yeah.
Fuck her, man.
Definition.
Yeah.
Semantics.
Yeah, we're just labeling things at this point, dog. It's witchcraft, it's magic, it's works, all right?
Oh, God. All right, well, let's see what else she had to say. In this building, partial meetings have taken place and do take place between us and the humans. We have passed on information to you in the last few years. According to what I know, we will keep ourselves as far away from the conflict as we can. You ought to learn to solve your own problems yourselves, or to become intelligent enough to never create these kinds of situations. What will come and who will possibly place themselves on your side, only time will tell. I really do not want to make any indications about that. Pretty sure reptilians are our enemies, though. It sounds like she's acting like we ain't.
Yeah, that's what I was... very interesting, because... And I think we briefly discussed this on Lacerda Files Part 1, but now it's confirmed. Like, she's basically telling us, hey, reptilians aren't the problem. It's the Greys that are trying to take over your planet. That may be true, at least the Grey part, right? And I'm not surprised, but I'll be goddamned if I believe a word she's saying about them not, first off, not getting involved, and also that word, they're not trying to take over our planet too. I'll be goddamned if I believe that, all right?
Well, yeah, she was even saying like, oh, yeah, you've been lied to by like every alien species that's come down here. Yeah, what makes her so special?
Right. Yeah. What is she going to just tell us what is she, a true and honest, as Chris Chan would put it, a true and honest alien? No.
not even close. Got to take it with a grain of salt. And like I said, she's kind of from what we know about reptilians, things are they're getting a little conflicty.
Yeah, I don't believe. Yeah, I mean, the first strike was the whole no magic thing, and then this is just fucking it, man. I know that she's fucking with us.
Oh, man. Well, here's another quick little tidbit that we asked her. Where do these military UFOs come from? From the United States?
Yes, I think generally that's true, from the Western continent. And what that means is, basically she's saying, I guess it seems like as a majority of these like quote unquote UFOs that are being created by the government, it's because the US has got them and we're the ones that struck the shitty deals with the Greys back in the day. Confirming the Eisenhower thing.
So a lot of the UFO stuff that we see, especially in that really disappointing UFO report, a lot of it could just be just American stuff and some guy working at the Navy base who obviously all the shit's super under wraps happened to detect it. And they just got to be like, oh, we don't know.
Oh, it's not something we're working on.
Now I just want to believe Patrick Starr as a fucking top level general in the U.S. military.
Get me the lieutenant. I have something to show him.
Oh, that makes the story so much better.
SpongeBob, look at my dick and firmly grasp it.
Oh boy. Yeah, we could we can reenact the whole story with Chris Chan, but with SpongeBob and Patrick.
So SpongeBob's gonna be Barbara or what?
Yep, that's the only way. So if any of you guys out there are good SpongeBob voice actors or a good impressionist, let us know and we'll make this horrible abomination happen.
And then another little question here. Why then do they fly over thickly populated areas of Europe? This photo comes from Belgium. Shows Lacerda a photo of a UFO. That doesn't make any sense. Can you explain?
Why is it that only I am able to explain strange human deeds? It's possible that these are long distance tests or tests with the electromagnetic camouflage system. The old enemy of the American nation is on this side of the world, so why shouldn't they test here? At home, they've had enough time to have their ships crossing back and forth. Maybe they have aroused too much observation with air. With one of those kinds of unstable field structures, as your photo indicates, I consider it somewhat improbable that the ship is capable of making a flight of that length over the ocean. It is possible there is a test station here on your continent. Unfortunately, I don't know anything about it.
How dare she assume that we can't make a UFO that can cross the pond? That's ridiculous. I mean, if we have planes, like regular-ass planes that do it all day, every day, why can't we make a UFO that doesn't?
I was going to say, yeah, it's a pretty hard challenge she's dropping on us.
Ridiculous.
Unbelievable. Next question says, many readers of the first transcript have posed this question, how your original contact with EF, which is Ollie's friend who put him in contact with Lacerda to begin with, came about. I already know the story from your narratives, but could you repeat it here once again for this volume and for the new transcript?
Of course. Now, the story began about two of your years ago here in Sweden.
Sweden.
Sweden. I have been strongly interested in your species and your behavior since my youth. I had already studied your literature at that time, as well as possible. Naturally, it is not easy in my homeland to come into possession of human books, but since my group or family stands in a higher ranking order, I was able to gather some material together and sometimes to speak with others of my kind who have already been in contact with you. I was really very curious about your species, and as soon as I was allowed to come to the surface, I attempted to assemble more information immediately. Above all, it was expressly forbidden for me to commence direct contact with humans because in my position at that time, there existed no necessity for doing so. It was in your year, 1998, when I was on my way further north from here in the remote forests in the vicinity of the entrance to my world and was looking for biological specimens, which we use in order to watch over environmental pollution and destruction of your flora and fauna, statistically by your own kind. True. At the time, I was already on a return path to the entrance. We can even orient ourselves more easily, by the way, through our senses to the Earth's magnetic field and already in the vicinity of the large lake, when much to my surprise, I came across a cabin in the woods. In this cabin, I sensed a human consciousness/awareness. It was EF. Actually, I had no permission for contact with another species, but by the same token, I had set in place my mimicry capability quite successfully prior to this. Even with larger groups of you. I had never, ever come across a human being when I was alone. So if we remember back to the first episode, she first presents herself as a human woman.
Right.
You know, because they shapeshift and they can mimic the reptilians. So that's what she's talking about here. I wanted to talk now. So she says, now let's call it primitive curiosity. I wanted to talk with the person in this cabin, so I knocked on the door. EF opened the door and got into an interesting conversation. His language was not quite yet common at the time for me, but it's not all that hard to learn a new language when one can read the information in the consciousness of the opposite individual.
Look at me with my consciousness awareness. Oh, not a big deal.
Oh, I can learn Swedish in 30 seconds. What is this, the Matrix? You just loaded in?
Yeah, I don't like her. She's mean.
She's very mean. All right. It's hard to learn languages. All right. I simply told him that I came from a foreign country in the East. Of course, at that time, he did not really recognize who I was. He was totally convinced that he was talking with a creature of his own kind, although it was simply only a mimicry image. Since my assignment anyway had it as its goal, an investigation of this terrain, which was to last for several days, I visited him in this span of time 3 times as a human person. At first, we talked mainly about really ordinary things. Later, we got into religious and physical topics. What was that? They fucked? What does that mean?
Possible. Well, they talked about it. They didn't do it.
Pussies. He seemed to be impressed by my knowledge, and I was likewise impressed with his clear thoughts and his, for a human being, well-displayed personality structure and his own opinions. Wow. She had to put that caveat in there. For a human being.
Wow.
You really like giving yourselves over completely to public opinion or conditioning. As for example, quote, reptilian species are evil, unquote. The stuff like that. Well, so now she's calling me out.
Yep, directly. It's almost like she knew you were going to read this.
God damn. I don't know what to believe anymore, dude.
Yeah, well, that's the nature of the beast, unfortunately.
I steered the conversation in this direction, and EF said something to the effect that he believed in alien species and that they did not have to necessarily be evil, but perhaps only different than his kind are. That pleased me. So I started touching myself down there. No, wait, no, it doesn't say that. Sorry. Nope.
That's for the premium episode.
Tasker, it seems like you're quieter. Oh, your mic. Uh-oh. Your mic flipped down.
Oop.
Got it.
Wow. Okay. We might have to keep that in because it might explain the quiet part.
Yeah. But I mean, I still heard what you said, but I was like, wait a second.
Ah, got you. Yeah. We'll see if we can fix it in post. If not, sorry.
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 That pleased me. At the juncture of the time, of course, I could not speak concretely with him about my knowledge because he wouldn't have believed me. He would have taken me for a human practical joker. I cultivated the very, very unusual idea to show him my true exterior, something that I did during a conversation at our 4th meeting in the cabin. Actually, he was predestined for contact. He was open-minded, honest, intelligent, not religiously inclined or conditioned. He lived alone and isolated, and no one would believe him should he decide to go public with his story. So wow. I guess that's the outline. So if you guys want to get contacted by extraterrestrials, live by those, and you're predestined for contact, according to Lacerda.
Wow. That's a little depressing, but hey, yeah. Whatever floats your boat, huh?
Exactly. I dared to take the step, but then I had serious doubt about the propriety of my act, especially when he reacted very violently. He got control of himself again after a time, and we could finally talk concretely about definite matters. Now, he had no choice but to believe me. This was the beginning of a series of meetings, which initially took place there in the woods, but later took place in his remote residence. I said, what, the woods, the cabin in the woods isn't remote enough?
Yeah, I still feel like this does feel like a romance novel waiting to happen with a lot of the buildup.
I'm kind of hoping that I'm shipping, man. I'm kind of hoping that they end up banging or something, you know?
I mean, yeah, you got to do it for research, right? See how it works.
Yeah. Or, you know, I know that you're really into vore, so I'm really hoping for your sake that she eats him at the end of the story. I don't know.
Yeah, for something like that. It's just like, I don't know. So we're talking, she's a human female showing up to this like random human male who's randomly like opening up to her about a bunch of, that sounds like pillow talk. If I ever heard it, I think they fucked.
Oh yeah. This is Sweden too, man. You know, though, that weird, you know, doesn't this turn you on? Don't you like the way it talk? Let's, why don't you blow my wiener?
I don't think they're all that rhythmic. As far as I
don't
know,
man. I've
never been to Sweden.
Everybody outside of the U.S. is a caricature to me, okay?
Yes, that's a good U.S. mentality.
Because I'm too lazy to take the time and learn real accents, so I just do the cartoony ones.
Hey, you know, if there's money, there's money in it all.
Finally, he brought you into contact with me, and for that reason, we are now sitting here once again and talking about things which probably won't be believed out there in human society. So that is the backstory, the origin story, if you will, of Lacerda and EF and Ollie and how they all got together.
Yep. You're probably wondering why that was in the beginning, and our answer is,
I don't know. But we did briefly touch on it in the first episode in the beginning, but definitely not into this amount of detail.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, we're doing a bit of a Tarantino, you know, changing up the timeline a bit. So look at us being so artsy.
That's right. That's right. Don't worry. Samuel Jackson is cast in our movie. He is cast in all Tarantino movies, and he will be in this one.
Yeah, he's playing Nick, especially in our adaptation. So he can say the N-word.
Open your third eye, man.
Actually, that would make a great movie. With that pitch, I think that's a good proof of concept.
Dude, can I play him? Can I play Samuel Jackson in his biopic whenever that comes out?
You could try. I mean, worth a shot.
I'd have to do blackface. Is that cool?
It's incredibly uncool, but it depends on how artsy they depict it.
That's fair. Sam, if you're listening to this, man, hey, Mace Windu is awesome. and let me play you in your biopic, all right?
Yeah. I hope he hears it. We'll see.
Next question. And guys, this is a long interview. We're running low on time, so we're going to kind of blast through it. You know, we're going to speed read a little bit, all right? So this is where fourth grade reading really comes in handy, Tasker. So I hope you're up for it.
Well, let's see. We're been put up to the test right now, so I hope for the best for us too.
That's right, man. You're still hooked on phonics, but I have faith in you. Let's do this.
Let's go for it.
Next question. You said you would not have had permission at the time for contact with human beings. Do you now then have permission to talk with EF and me about all these things and even to make this scientifically public?
Yes, that is difficult to explain and for you to understand. Let's just say I find myself in the position now to arrange this permission without having to take into account any consequences. In this position, I am quasi-immune against certain restrictions. Let's look at it that way. Yes.
That was beating around the bush. She is definitely not allowed to be talking to us.
That was avoidant, so good to know. All right, next question. If other people want to come into contact with your kind, do you have a chance to do so?
Generally not. We avoid contact with you, and we operate on the surface only in remote areas, and there we use the mimicry techniques in case we should meet some people. That I am talking with you now does not mean that others will follow my example. It goes without saying that you could try to find an entrance to my world and penetrate your way in there. Oh. However, very sultry.
Quite. Are they fucked?
Yeah, buddy. However, that can sooner lead to unpleasant consequences for the infiltrator. You have next to no chances on the surface of recognizing us. You can't even contact us directly. We have to contact you, just as I did with EF. Those kinds of contacts, however, are not the rule, but are very rare occurrences. So they're basically saying, you'll never find us. We find you.
Yep. Good fucking luck.
Good luck, bitches. Next question. Can you describe your subterranean homeland location?
I can attempt to do so, but I certainly will not tell you where this place is located. My homeland lies in one of our smaller underground settlements to the east of here. I'll give you some numbers so that you can make a better impression for yourself. Just a minute. I have to try to convert the measurements approximately into your units.
Wow.
How inconvenient. Yikes. Wow. So mathematical. It is a dome-shaped cavern at a distance of about 4,300 meters from the Earth's surface. The cavern was organized as a colony about 3,000 years ago. A major portion of the ceiling structure is artificially integrated into the rock, and the form was remodeled into an almost elegantly proportioned and very flat dome with an oval ground plan. The diameter of the dome, according to your measures, is about 2.5 kilometers. The height of the dome at the highest point is about 220 meters. Underneath that, the highest point in every colony there stands a special whitish-gray cylindrical building.
Building.
A kind of supporting column which holds the honeycomb net-carrying structure of the dome. This building is the tallest, largest, and oldest in the entire dome, for it is always situated as the first construction together with the security of the ceiling. In the meantime, of course, there were times it was completed and reconditioned. That building has a very special name with religious significance. We have only one of these columns. Larger colonies have even more columns according to the construction of the ceiling. One of the main colonies in Inner Asia has nine of those kinds of supports, but that colony is also over 25 of your kilometers in size. The central building is generally a center of religion, but also a center for climate control and a center for the behavior and the regulation of the lighting system.
Hold on. So they talk shit about us being like religiously predispositioned and conditioned and shit, and they have religion. So what, just because they're smarter, theirs is better and ours is dumb?
Basically that's what I think that's what they're saying. Yep, we do the same thing, but ours is just better than yours.
That's fucked.
It's fucking mean. So, we have at our location all together five large artificial light sources which generate your UV lights and its warmth through gravitational sources. The air shafts and the light systems from the surface likewise run through these columns, and naturally, they are very intensely controlled. By the way, we have three air shafts and two elevator systems there, and even a tunnel connection to the next main colony, which lies approximately 500 kilometers to the southeast. One elevator shaft leads to a cavern near the surface. The other one leads to one of our depots for the ships. You remember the cylindrical ships. That is naturally concealed closer to the surface behind a rocky mountain face. Normally, there are only three ships there. It's a small depot. The other buildings of the colony are, for the most part, concentrically ordered in oval circles around the main supporting column, and they are without exception much flatter, generally only between 3 and 20 meters tall. The shape of the building is round and dome-like. The color is even differentiated according to the circle and distance from the main column. To the north of the column, there is an additional very large but very flat round building. This building interrupts the concentric system of the colony with its diameter of about 250 meters. It is the artificial sun zone in which the specially illuminated corridors and rooms are housed. In these locations, very powerful UV lights predominate, and they are used in order to warm our blood. There is even a medical dispensary and a meeting room located there. Beyond the outer ring of the colony, there are zones in which animals are kept. You know, we must consume the flesh as nourishment, and gardens in which we plant nourishment and mushroom culture are cultivated. There's also hot and cold water running water there from subterranean sources. The power station is located at the edge of the colony. The station is driven by fusion at its base and supplies the colony with the quote-unquote suns with energy. My group or quote-unquote family lives, by the way, in the fourth ring of buildings out of the central support column. So much in such a short time. To describe to you all the buildings and their task would be going too far. It is difficult to describe something like this to you, for it is a completely different set of surroundings and culture from what you have accustomed to in your life on the surface. You would really have to see it for yourselves to be able to believe it.
So that sounds like some Hollow Earth shit.
Yeah, that's it's complicated.
I love it. All right.
But a good glint.
A very good glint. Yeah, and like we said, guys, these are like indigenous, is what we'll call them, subterranean reptilians. These aren't the Dracos that we're dealing with here, it seems like. This seems like these are the guys literally living underneath our feet.
Okay. And that also, that's right, I'm pretty sure we did that in the last episode. That's because we always talk about reptilians trying to take us over. These ones seem a little bit more like we're just kind of like chilling and like observing.
Observing, I think, is a good word. But I'm still cautious. I'm still cautious about them.
As you should be. The next question is, will I myself see it sometime?
Who knows? Maybe. Time brings new opportunities.
Wow.
The next question, how many creatures of your kind live in this colony?
Approximately 900. Yeah. And then the next question is, that is the end of the interview. Do you have any final message for the readers of the transcript?
Yes. I am thoroughly surprised at the many comments to my words. Of course, I am naturally also disappointed about the religious portrayals of me as the enemy, which have been voiced and which have buried themselves deeply in your mind. You should learn to set yourselves apart from the old conditioning and not to stand quasi under the control of something or someone
who has already been gone for 5,000 years. You are, after all, free spirits. Those are my final words.
And that's it, baby.
A little anticlimactic there, but sure.
So basically, Lacerda is telling us, stop being religious, open up your fucking pineal gland. Hold on.
Oh, you got to Google something?
I got to Google something, dude, because they called it a pituitary gland earlier. That's the same thing, right? As the pineal, because I don't want to sound like an idiot.
Well, it might be too late for that, but let's see. Pituitary is a major endocrine gland, P-shaped body attached to the base of the brain. Pineal gland is a P-shaped conical mass of tissue beneath the third ventricle of the brain. So they are different.
Oh, they're different. Good. Your third eye is somewhere in there, okay?
Somewhere tangled in the jelly of your brain.
Whatever. Guys, I never claim to be a fucking... I'm not a biologist. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a brain surgeon, all right? All I know is that something in there needs to be opened up and something in there gets calcified. Is it your pineal gland or your pituitary gland? Is it both? Do both make up the third eye? I don't know. Now I don't know what to believe anymore.
Yeah, it's rough. You're going to have to go to med school now.
Ah, fuck. All right. Well, fine.
Well, there was some eye-opening stuff there, pun intended. There was some, we learned a little bit about what their underground, and as we said before, these are subterranean, not Dracos. These are the ones that live on the planet Earth. These, are these dimension shifting as well, or are they a little different?
I believe that they didn't specify, but I think that reptilians in general have the ability to dimension shift, you know?
Yeah. Just like the way they were talking and stuff like that. That was pretty sounded like they knew a little bit more than they were letting on.
And plus, Lacerda was talking about how she can go into like a human form. And I think that has to do with being able to shift dimensions and kind of like let us see what we want to see or something like that. So I'm pretty sure they can hop dimensions. Yeah.
Okay. So not as like intensely as the Dracos probably, but you know, we're still dealing with something pretty, pretty rough.
And they're still scary as fuck. They're just not as big as the Dracos either, you know, like, cause we know the Dracos are the really big, crazy ones that look like more like dragons than like lizards. You know, these guys, they're probably a little bit taller than me, but you know, they're still scary because they're giant reptiles. So
but the Dracos are the one that it's infiltrating. Well, no, is it the Dracos that are infiltrating our government, or is that the subterranean, or both?
Now I'm thinking there's two theories. One, it's the Dracos, and the subterranean ones are just kind of vibing here for some reason. Or two, the Dracos are the ones infiltrating, but the subterranean ones are spies, and they're basically telling the Dracos what's going on to help infiltrate better.
I could see that, and I could see this whole Lacerda thing being like a plan of like, let's talk to one directly, let's see what they know, and it's a good information gathering technique for them to see, you know, how far things go. And what better way to do it than some random guy by himself that nobody's going to believe?
Yeah. And he's asking a lot of questions. So Lacerda knows that we don't know shit for real. And she'll just give us fake answers in return. And we think it's all hunky dory and it's not.
Yeah. How crazy. Yeah, sometimes one being interviewed is getting more answers than the interviewer.
Yeah, I know, dude. These fucking aliens are manipulative though.
Yep. They played us like a goddamn fiddle.
But that was it for Lacerda Files Part 2.
Yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed it. The voice break was because I haven't talked that much since yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a lot of talking.
Yeah. Actually, I don't know if you caught it. I was like losing my breath halfway through the other one, but pulled together and I didn't pass out. So that was good.
That's good, man. Yeah, that'd be a shame if you passed out reading a paragraph.
Yeah, because then you have to wait for me to wake up and that's a lot of editing and it just would have been a drag.
Yeah.
Yeah, good stuff. And like I said, it's good to be back. Good to be back on our normal schedule. The past couple of weeks have been pretty chaotic, at least on my end. So hopefully things are going to stable it out a little bit, at least until the next semester starts. And, update schedule should be about the same, though.
Yep, exactly. I mean, Wednesday, every Wednesday, people. Every Wednesday. Yep.
That is where it's at. Weekday, right in the middle of your work week.
That's right. Inconveniently. You're welcome.
Yep, or conveniently, because who the fuck has anything to look forward to on Wednesday? So at least we could give you something to look forward to, break it up, because we spend all week waiting for Friday. So why not get something right in the middle of your week?
That's right. And well, that's true. And also it's called Hump Day. And what better day to hear our sultry voices?
Yeah. Talking about Chris Chan and like motherfucking and all that shit.
Oh man. Oedipus is proud.
Oh, I love that meme of where it's a picture of fucking Freud. It just says he can't keep getting away with this. Every goddamn time.
All right, guys. So, look, I know we were talking about reptilians a lot today and we've learned a lot about reptilians, but, if there is something else underneath the earth hiding and waiting for a time to strike, I bet you anything it's fucking Count Chocula.
Yeah. And I mean, and he's gathering, I mean, Nick and I, obviously, I know we said we were going to take a little break, our break on building the file for his episode. We kind of extended a little bit. I mean, you know, I've been traveling. We've had a lot of stuff going on and we kind of just want to make sure, double sure that everything's encrypted. That's a long process. And we do know the risk involved though, is that we're giving him an opening. So hope for the best for the both of us that we can make it through to next week alive, because you know, if it wasn't for that hard drive, you know, and how good we've been about it, it's long gone, you know?
That's right. But we're still steadily doing it, guys. We're compiling data. We will have an episode shortly for you guys on Count Chocula. So you stay safe, though, for now, because I know he's sniffing. He's sniffing around not just us now, but the people who listen to us. So be very careful.
Exactly. Yeah, totally. Count Chocula episode coming soon. If you're listening on iTunes, if you could 5-star rate and review, that would help us a ton, get some visibility, get some more folks listen to us, and we can have a big old happy family community here. Spotify, you could click that follow button. We have new episodes every Wednesday, as we said. Our Instagram is at CEOTPK. Our YouTube is Close Encounters of the Podcast Kind. Our Twitter is at CEOTPK1. Our Facebook is Close Encounters of the Podcast Kind, where you can find all these links and all the above in a nice, easy, simple way. So you don't have to type anything in. Just click. You can email us at CEOTPK1@gmail.com. Join our Discord, discord.gg/lowercase b, number 6, capital C, capital T, number 5, capital M, capital X. If that's a drag to type out, just go to our Facebook. The link will be there with every new post that we make. If you feel the need to donate, we have coffee, ko-fi.com/CEOTPK. It's just like our own personal tip jar. Don't feel the need to use it, but any generosities you send our way will be immensely appreciated.
Yeah, because Tasker and I will be unemployed for a little while, so...
Yeah, still, it's been almost 3 months and I still haven't gotten my unemployment yet. So,
and my last day of work is in 2 weeks. So, you know, I got 2 weeks left of work. And then I'm jumping ship and going back to school, and then eventually I'll get a part-time job, but it's going to be tight for a while. So, you know, it's a tip jar. Don't feel the need to, but know that it is greatly appreciated and we love you guys. All right. And thank you.
Yeah, we're not winking or nudging, but you know, nah, keep your money if you need it.
Yeah,
but
for real.
Thank you for listening, though. Yeah,
and look, whether you think that reptilians are living underneath our feet, very kindly and not spies, or if you think that they're living underneath our feet to literally spy on us underneath our noses, the truth is out there.
You know, or maybe it's just nothing but earth and core and magma and lava. At least that helps me at sleep at night. Let's just pretend like it's not. The last time I saw really no necessity. Fucking hell. The last time I
fucking necessity.
So bad.